All right, so we're going to settle down here. Grab your seats. Wanted to tell you about one of our local people who is doing a real cool thing. Glenn Lorbecki is, well, the AES National is having its elections in the summer. And the one that is of interest to us, I think, is the race for treasurer. And Glenn Lorbecki is running for treasurer. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for if you're a member, but I'm voting for him, and he's a good guy. So let's see, there's that. There was something else I was supposed to tell you also.
What's the concert on Friday?
Yes.
What's that?
What's the concert on Friday?
Friday, that's here at 7:30. We are doing 6 or 7 pieces of Parch, some music by James Tenney, Lou Harrison, Avanis, and then we have the last piece on the program is Parch's Castor and Pollux that we're doing with Dance. Should be about 100 minutes of music.
Could you tell us what the other, you said it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Yeah, so Wednesday, tomorrow's program, were you done?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, tomorrow's program is one of the artists in residence here, Luke Fitzpatrick, is playing the complete works for intoning voice and adapted viola. So that is 2 psalm settings that Parch did, 17 settings of poems by Li Po, which is a mistranslation of the name Li Bai, a Chinese poet from 400s, I believe, and then a setting of the potion scene from the end of Romeo and Juliet. So that's the Wednesday program. Thursday is a series of pieces that people in the ensemble, including myself, have arranged for Parch's instruments, and an arrangement that Parch himself did for his instruments. And then Friday is the program I just watched. So yeah, three very different programs. I hope they're all pretty interesting.
They all start at 7:30.
It's all 7:30 here. Yeah.
I was blissfully unaware of all these 3 performances and have some other obligations, and I get plenty of junk mail from me. So I would get on your list.
You can sign up at harryparch.com.
Okay.
There's a mailing list somewhere on that front page, or on every page. I think it's just a link at the bottom. So you'd sign up there, and I send stuff out just a couple times a year. I don't go crazy about it because no one will read it then. But if it's 1 or 2 a year, I think probably I reach most of the people.
Who is the violist?
Luke Fitzpatrick.
I'm sorry?
Luke Fitzpatrick. He's mostly known in the town as a violin player, but he also plays adapted viola and regular viola. So one thing I just wanted to correct really quick, I misunderstood something I was being asked while I was talking about the Eroica. There is a sound hole right under each one of the bars. I thought we were asking a question about the front of these boxes, but right underneath each of these 4 bars is a hole that acts as the access to these resonators. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Maybe that was it. Yeah, I think that was all I wanted to say. So for the rest of the time, I would love it if everyone could come up and kind of try out a couple of the instruments. Please do so with great care. We do have 3 concerts coming up, and I hate to have to fix something between now and then, but with the exception of the glass, they're all pretty durable, and if you want to try that out, that's where I'm going to be hanging out, and I can show you how it works. And please, if you have more questions or anything else you want to know, again, I'll be right over here, and I'd love to talk with everybody about it. Yeah.
Can you tell us about the foundation itself? Like, what's the story on the Harry Parch Foundation?
The Harry Parch Foundation is, I think, entirely people who worked with Parch between the 50s and when he died in 1974. So they, for a while, had the instruments in San Diego, and then, like happened at Montclair, they were at San Diego State University, and San Diego State said they can't be here anymore, they had to find somewhere else. So the instruments got separated from the foundation at that point when they went to New York. But those people from that group still tend to come to a couple of the performances every year. John Santo, who you know, will be here for the programs the next few days. And he was someone who played with Parch when he was, I think, just finishing up high school, and so it was very influential for him to work with that guy. So, yeah, they're mostly concerned with just making sure that things are going well here, and they've been really happy with the way the program's gone the last few years. They haven't asked me to change anything, so I feel pretty good about it.
And what's your story personally in all this? Can you?
In how many words? So I met these instruments by accident. I didn't know they were at Montclair State when I enrolled. I was from New Jersey. It was a school that was about an hour away from where I lived. And I went to study composition there. And the first day there, Dean Drummond, who was running the ensemble at the time, everyone on the faculty gave just a quick 2-minute introduction to what did they do to all the incoming freshmen. And he mentioned something about these unique handmade instruments, new tuning system, whatever. And I was a 17-year-old composer, and I thought, this is the most interesting thing I've ever heard of. I bet everyone's going to go. So as soon as everyone finished giving their little speech, I ran down to the studio, and I was the only person who went. So that maybe tells you enough about me. But I was just enthralled, again, being a young composer looking for new ideas. It was too good to turn down. And the first instrument of his that I got my hands on was his bamboo marimba, which unfortunately I don't have up here today. I had a bit of a background in percussion, not much at the time. And I enjoyed playing that, and I enjoyed the music, and I decided that I would take every project I had the opportunity to do. So over the course of my undergrad, I played almost every one of his instruments. I was in a couple of his theater pieces, and I just kept going with it. But my main background is in composition, and I do a lot of work with tuning systems there as well.
Yeah. Could you just describe briefly Harry's last years? I mean, did he retire? And
well,
was he active?
He was not really ever employed, so I don't know. he had a couple of stints as sort of like visiting artist kind of types of positions or things where he would be sponsored by a grant or he would have production underwritten by a benefactor. But mostly he was really dedicated to building these instruments and writing his music and kind of lived with people who would lend him a room or things like that. But near the end of his life, the last big project that he did was the Stephen Puglio film I mentioned earlier, The Dreamer That Remains. And that was a piece written for the film, which used maybe about a dozen of his instruments or so. But it was mostly kind of a mix of this piece. The film was a mix of this piece and a biographical document of what Partridge was doing in the 70s. And he probably from the mid-40s, he was not extremely healthy. He had a lot of health problems. Prior to that, of course, he had spent two long stints as a hobo. And so I think he came out of that with some illnesses and just general aches and pains and kind of knees are no good, back's no good anymore, that kind of thing. So he was never extremely healthy in the best of times, and in the 70s was having a lot of trouble with things like that. And after he finished with The Dreamer That Remains, his goal was to sort of revisit some of his earlier works and try and get really great theatrical productions done. And he died before any of those came to fruition. Well, come on up. I'm happy to keep talking, but everyone should try out a couple of these. No, they're all just regular pedals, so those pedals operate the bellows. Those are the rings. Those are the rings themselves, yeah.
Well, I'm Thank you.
Thank you.
great meeting.